when we look at the du'as that we are to recite during the wudu, one of the du'as, Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. Allah forgive my sins, Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari, and expand for me my home, wa barik li fi rizqi, and bless me in my sustenance. These are short du'as. If Allah just grants us once the supplication, we'll be fortunate our entire life in this world and the next world. What else can we desire? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is included in this three phrases of the du'a, has included all the needs of this world and the year after. Let's look at the first one. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. The first concerns the year after, and the other two with regards to this world. Forgiveness. That is what the first one speaks about. One who is forgiven earns all the blessings of the after, because only sins are an obstruction to admittance to paradise. If Allah forgives sins, then the obstruction is removed and a home in paradise is assured. And there is no one who is free from sin, and no one that does not lapse and err. Everyone has committed a minor or major sin sometime during their lives, and no one is not in want of the forgiveness of Allah. Only the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were free from sins. Our own beloved master, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was so innocent of sin that no sin and no major lapse could ever have been committed by him. If he had even made a mistake, then Allah had already declared, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah may forgive you of your faults, that which is in the past and may future come. So in spite of that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ كُلَّ يَوْمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةِ. I seek Allah's forgiveness 70 times every day. This word 70 does not signify the number, but implies innumerable times. So it means more than 70 times every day I ask the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In spite of that, Allah gives the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the command, despite him being exonerated of sin and having all his sins, the guarantee of it, for the forgiveness of it, yet he is told, وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And say, O Nabi of Allah, my Lord, forgive and have mercy, and you are the best of the merciful. So the question arises that if he seeks forgiveness often, and Allah has already declared that he is forgiven, then why does Allah ask him to seek forgiveness? The fact is that man can at most keep away from what he regards as sinful, but there are many things which man does not even think of as a sin, but they are wrong. For instance, we offer salah. This is a significant form of worship and very rewarding, but look at our salah. The moment we begin with Allahu Akbar, it is as though we put on the switch and we go through with the motions rapidly, unconcerned and unattentive, with our minds wandering here, there and everywhere. And after the salah, we don't even know what we recited in each rakat. This is in spite of the fact that we know that we are standing before Allah. If we are before King of this world and show the least amount of indifference or inattentiveness, then we would be turned out and disgraced. However, it's a great favor of Allah that in spite of our shortcomings and our excesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves and accepts our salah through His benevolence. The way we offer our salah, really, it is as though we show contempt to Allah. Sometimes we don't even think of this as that we are committing a sin. So there are many things that we do not even consider to be wrong, and that is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the supplication, Rabbi ghafir warham wa'afu anna, Rabbi ghafir warham wa'afu anna, wa takarram wa tajawaz amma ta'lam, innaka ta'lamu ma la na'lam, innaka ta'lamu ma lam na'lam. Allah forgive us and show mercy and pardon us, and be compassionate and forgive us the sins that you know of and that which you do not know of. We have committed these sins, but we do not realize that they were sins. No one is absolved in any way of having to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So Allah has granted man such an invaluable prescription in istighfar. That is seeking forgiveness. That it turns, we could almost say, dust into gold. It turns impurity into something pure. Sin is impure. But Allah says that when my servant makes sincere istighfar after committing his sin and he repents, then the sin becomes a means of rising or a raise in his rank. Person commits a sin and feels ashamed and feels remorseful and seeks forgiveness. And this is how Allah turns the impurity of sin into purity in the sense that we get closer to Allah. However, for this we need to make istighfar all the time, even after our acts of worship. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished Salah, the first words he spoke were, Astaghfirullah, I seek the forgiveness of Allah 3 times. Just look at this, analyze this. That one seeks forgiveness after committing a sin, but here the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam engaged in the worship, the highest form of worship, Salah. Why? Forgiveness is sought from the thing after that. It is as though we're saying, oh Allah, I have been unable to give the rites of Salah. Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik, wa ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifatik. Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik, we have not worshipped you as you ought to be worshipped. Wa ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifatik, and we have not recognized you, O Allah, as you ought to be recognized. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is reported to have said that on having observed worship, one must immediately thereafter do two things. Say Alhamdulillah and Astaghfirullah. You praise Allah because it is only through His enablement, tawfiq, that He has given you that you are able to carry out this act, good act. There are so many people that are deprived of it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled us to do it, so we need to remember that. And we need to seek forgiveness for not being able to worship Allah as He is due to be worshipped, so one cannot at all carry on without making istighfar. The first phrase after wudu is of istighfar. When a person makes wudu, his visible dirt is removed. The Rasulullah then calls our attention in this to Allah maghfirli dhambi, that the invisible dirt must also be removed. So when we wash the face, it looks clean, but inside the dirt of the sins accumulated also there. So outward cleanliness is of no use if we do not make dua for the inner purity. Allah maghfirli dhambi, Allah cleanse my inner side, forgive my sins. Another aspect of the dua is that according to the hadith, that the major sins are forgiven through wudu. Even if no repentance is made, the sin of different limbs are forgiven as they are washed or wiped. That is the minor sins, the major sins are not forgiven without repentance. Nabi Salman therefore suggested that we should make this dua. And if you make the dua, so when you're washing the limb, the minor sins are forgiven. You make the dua, the major sins will be forgiven. And in that way, minor and major sins are both forgiven. Now, what is the next phrase in this dua? وَوَسِعْ لِي فِي دَارِي. O Allah, expand for me my home. Make spacious for me my home. I don't want to live in a restricted one. Now, the spaciousness of the home is of two kinds. A large home, and in the figurative sense, the residents might find peace and comfort in it. A large home with no peace of mind for a person is of no use to him. Therefore, the spaciousness requested by the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of this kind, that in fact it is the essence, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنَا. Allah has appointed for you from your houses a repose, a place of refuge, a place where you attain comfort. Hence, the first description of a house is that when a person enters it, he gets peace. Otherwise, no matter how palatial it is, There is no good in it. A person, the owner may have a hut, a small informal home. And if you enter that home, a small home, a modest home, but you get peace, then that is better than the palace. And this is important. And the homes have become a place of contestation of rights, adversarial relationships. The husband doesn't show respect to the wife doesn't show respect to the husband. Children are at odds with one another. The Messenger taught us, make the dua, make my home spacious. The Messenger did not say that, Allahumma zayyin li bayti, Allah beautify my home, or grant it splendor. But what did he say? Wasi'li, expand it for me, expand it for me. Mufti Muhammad Shafi, rahimahullah, used to say that the real quality of a home is therefore spacious, not congestion, which would be unbearable for man. Beauty and comfort are additional things. There's three signs of good fortune. Three things are a man's good fortune: a good wife, a spacious home, and pleasant and comfortable means of conveyance. That is from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the word does not merely imply a large home, but its purpose is that the dwellers therein are mutually compatible. There's a large home, the residents will see eye with each eye to eye, there would be no peace. So therefore we're saying, وَوَسِّعْلِي فِي دَارِي, Allah, grant me peace when I go home, it shouldn't be torment. And then the third is, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي رِزْقِي, Allah grant me blessings in my sustenance. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not make dua at this instance for increase in sustenance. And Allah, زِدْ لِي فِي رِزْقِي. He said, بَارِكْ لِي, put blessings. And this teaches us that numbers are immaterial unless there is blessings from Allah. Wealth includes everything of this world, food, drink, clothing, household items, they are all part of our sustenance. If Allah grants blessings in our sustenance, then a laborer's paltry wages gets him peace and comfort. And if he takes away blessings from one's sustenance, then a billionaire's billions will grant him torment instead of comfort. It is blessings, therefore, that we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not numbers. In fact, numbers have been despised. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ. Woe to every slander, defamer who amasses wealth and counts it. A person toys himself counting the wealth. The Quran disapproves of this, that for counting is a deception. What matters is the peace that one gets. One may count one's wealth, billions upon billions, but finds himself in a prison. Of what benefit is the wealth then? The wealth lacks blessings. In contrast, the laborer works for 8 hours a day, and Allah blesses his earnings. He eats when he's hungry, digests his food, sleeps for 8 peaceful hours, and wakes up in the morning refreshed. You tell me, who's the wealthy person? Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah has narrated an incident, and he said that there was a Nawab in Lucknow. There was a very rich man who owned a palace and fort, and he had a huge contingent of servants and a variety of good things around him. But he became very ill with a stomach disease, and doctors restricted his diet that he could only eat a quarter kilo of minced goat meat every day, and he could not eat anything else, just goat meat. And one day he was watching the Gumti River from his palace, and he saw a laborer came to the banks, sat down in the shade of a tree, untied his bag, and he took out thick barley bread and onions, which he ate with relish, and he drank water from the river and slept under the tree. And the Nawab explained and said, I'm willing to surrender my wealth and palaces for the sleep of that laborer. I'm willing to surrender my wealth and my palaces for the sleep of that laborer. Today we have everything except blessings. The person who earns $1,000, or the person who earns $100,000, or the person who earns $1,000,000, everyone's complaining that we cannot make ends meet. In fact, the people who earn more complain more. You'll notice that. The people who earn more complain more, and this is simply because we've lost our blessings in everything. We've lost our blessings in even in every aspect, that different new things have saved much of our time. Look at the past, how much time women spent in cooking. A cup of tea took half an hour to prepare. Today we have it in a couple of minutes. But have we really saved time? Take travel. People used to traverse distances on foot, horseback, on camels. We can travel around the whole world within 24 hours. But we complain of lack of time. There's no blessings in our time. If Allah gives blessings in someone's time, He can bring about a revolution in the whole world in 23 years. Look at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. It is as if merely taught all his life, or he spent his time reforming fellow, or merely waging jihad. But in 23 years, you know, if you look at what he achieved in every aspect of his life, it looked as though he dedicated his whole life to that. And yet he achieved in so many different fields. And this is the blessings. Allah had taken these various tasks from him. So time is a blessing. Allah has blessed the Anbiya alayhi salam and the companions who served his deen with great blessings. If we look at our own pious predecessors like Mu'ashraf Ali Thani rahimahullah, who wrote 1,000 books during his lifetime. If we have to just spend the reading those books, it would take us our entire lifetime. So the real thing here is that those blessings from Allah, without it, one lacks everything and merely complains. And that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us the dua for blessings. That these are the duas that we need to make. Allahumma fir li dhambi, wasi' li fi dari, wa barik li fi rizqi. These are three short phrases that the dua Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made during the wudu. So we should not omit these duas. We need every aspect of these duas for our worldly life as well as our life hereafter. And if we just imagine making this dua sincerely 5 times a day, and Allah accepts just once from us, can you imagine the barakah and the blessings that we would attain in this world? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding.